The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Delivery drivers for Amazon are employees, so says the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Reaction from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Phoenix City Council passes a bill to protect workers from extreme heat. And today on the show, the National Labor Office of Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Code CWA. Welcome to the Friday, March 29th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Marilee Logue. Marilee's been on the show before. She is the executive director of one of our new sponsors. That would be the National Labor Office at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, which, by the way, is a national federation of 34 independent, community-based, and locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies. Now, Marilee leads the National Labor Office, which is the liaison for unions to ensure that Blue Cross and Blue Shield products meet the labor community's bargaining objectives. Very important there. In addition, she oversees the board of directors at the National Labor Office, which represents 90% of the union members covered by Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And Marilee has got a lot of experience in this field. She spent over three decades, over 30 years in healthcare, concentrating on innovation and strategy to improve member experience. When you deal with healthcare, you want the best experience possible. And one of the things we're going to focus on the show today is health disparities and inequities. And with Marilee's experience, she has seen a lot in the field, a field that was once dominated by men. She'll talk about that. We're going to get into gender equity, the difference between blacks and whites. Did you know that black women are three times more likely to die from childbirth complications than white women? So with that being said, the National Labor Office of Blue Cross and Blue Shield has a goal in mind, and that's what Marilee is going to talk about on the show today. So she's our first guest. Later in the show, we're going to check in with Andrew Snell. Now, Andrew is a member of the organizing committee for Code CWA. This is a great group, and he'll give us some specifics on it. In a nutshell, it's the campaign to organize digital employees, and it's a network of worker organizers and their staff working every single day to build the voice and power necessary to ensure the future of the tech, game, and digital industries in the U.S. and Canada. And it's a project of the CWA, one of our big sponsors here on America's Workforce. And I'll tell you, that's a growing field. Well, this is really good news because workers at Activision Central Quality Assurance have joined Code CWA. Well, actually the CWA, and Microsoft has recognized their union. Frank Matthews and I talked about this many, many times on the show. You got a big player like Microsoft coming out and saying, okay, if you want a union, you can have a union. Think how many union members we would have today if a company would come out and say that instead of trying to, well, in some cases, bust a union that already exists or say, no, you don't want a union. That's the worst thing that can happen. We'll shut down this business. We'll move to Mexico. I mean, that happens almost daily in America. Well, a neutral arbitrator confirmed that a majority of the workers either signed a union authorization card or indicated that they wanted union representation via an online portal. So These workers are the first to organize at Activision under the labor neutrality agreement between the CWA and Microsoft. We're talking 600 members. Activision, Quality Assurance, United, CWA, largest group of union-represented workers at any U.S. game studio. Now, the workers in the new unit are located in California, Texas, and Minnesota. And right now, over 1,000 video game workers at Microsoft have union representation with the CWA. I never thought I'd be talking about a union affiliated with Microsoft, but it is happening. The day has finally arrived. So we're going to have a lot of fun with Andrew Snell as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor, the segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. And you can find more at boydwatterson.com. The Wisconsin Supreme Court unanimously ruled against Amazon's logistics subsidiary, upholding a lower court decision which found that Amazon Flex delivery drivers are, in fact, employees under the state's unemployment insurance statute. Back in 2018, the state's Department of Workforce Development determined that Amazon Logistics delivery partners qualified as employees under the definition established by the state's unemployment insurance statute. Well, as a result, the department assessed Amazon Logistics over $200,000 in delinquent unemployment insurance taxes. After the Wisconsin Labor and Industry Review Commission upheld the decision, Amazon filed an appeal through the state's court system. Well, last year, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals agreed with the state that the drivers were, in fact, employees. So ultimately, the state Supreme Court's dismissal of the case will affect over 1,000 Amazon drivers and require Amazon pay unemployment insurance taxes as well as penalties. And we got to give a big salute to Teamster Joint Council 39 on this story. And their president is Bill Carroll. Bill said this decision is a victory for workers and a long overdue indictment of sham business models like the Amazon Flex program. He goes on to say the only innovation that Amazon came up with by implementing this program is a new way to rip people off. It's far past time that Amazon learned to respect the labor laws of this country, except that it's an employer and pay for the taxes and benefits associated with that responsibility. The decision comes amid a renewed focus from policymakers on big tech's ongoing efforts to evade accountability by misclassifying their workers as independent contractors. And there's a lot of that going on. The Department of Labor recently introduced new guidelines intended to crack down on the practice, and a federal appeals court recently upheld a similar standard in the state of California. By the way, in Massachusetts, the Teamsters are leading opposition to another measure that seeks to enshrine unlawful practices by gig companies into state law. Randy Corgan is the Teamsters Amazon division director. Randy says this company promises its workers flexibility and the chance to run their own business. Well, the reality is, it's merely a way for Amazon to outsource its cost to workers and taxpayers while it reaps massive profits. This decision makes clear that Amazon's business model isn't about freedom. It's about fraud. Randy is a fighter. He was on the show a couple years ago, and they are determined to organize Amazon. We'll stay on that story. Phoenix City Council has unanimously passed an ordinance this week requiring city contractors and subcontractors to provide outdoor workers with access to shade, water, breaks, and air conditioning. Last year, Phoenix experienced a record 31 consecutive days with temperatures over 110 degrees. How do you work in a situation like that, I ask? Labor and community organizations, including SEIU, Unite Here Local 11, the Arizona AFL-CIO, Iron Workers Local 75, along with the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health, and various flight attendant associations all organize a citywide campaign leading up to that vote. The new ordinance, described as a critical first step, applies only to city contractors and does not provide protection from employer retaliation. Like I said, it is a first step, but at least it's moving in the right direction. I got some specifics on that. The contractors and subcontractors will be required to provide easy access to rest, shade, and water for workers in outdoor environments, access to air conditioning in vehicles with enclosed cabs, and training for outdoor workers on how to recognize and prevent heat injury and illness. Congratulations to all the unions and National Kosh. We'll be doing more on this later in April. This is a big story. And I'll tell you, the way things have been over the last couple of years, look out for another hot summer. Let's go to Alabama now, where workers at Mercedes-Benz's largest U.S. plant have filed multiple federal charges with the Labor Board, National Labor Relations Board, in response to the company's aggressive and illegal union busting. The workers are requesting an injunction to put an end to the company's retaliation against workers for standing up for their rights at work. Listen to this. In February, the workers at Mercedes announced that a majority of their co-workers at the plant in Vance had signed union authorization cards. Now, every Mercedes plant in the world is unionized, except for the company's two plants here in the United States. What does that tell you? Since we started organizing, I put my FMLA leave with management a couple of times, multiple times, and every time they said they lost the paperwork, said Lakeisha Carter, who's a Mercedes employee in the battery plant. I am an outspoken union supporter, and Mercedes illegally disciplined me for medical absences that were clearly covered by my family leave requests. It's just plain retaliation from Mercedes. But you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated. In February, the U.S. Department of Labor recovered $438,000 in back wages, unpaid bonuses, and damages for two former workers at the plant in Vance after management violated their rights to protected leave under the Family and Medical Leave Act. Al Azel, a public union supporter in the battery plant, has stage 4 lung cancer, and supply chain issues have made it difficult for him to receive his medication. Al was given permission to have his phone on the factory floor just in case his doctor called him about refilling his prescription. Listen to this. Management called me into the office to discipline me for having my phone on the floor. My manager looked at me in the face, told me she didn't care that I have cancer or that I had permission. She was going to enforce the company's zero tolerance policy. We've never had a zero tolerance policy for having a phone on the floor. Management is just trying to scare us, but you know what? We're not going to back down. Then there's Taylor Snipes, another worker in the battery plant. She says, Mercedes is forcing me and my coworkers to attend meetings and watch anti-union videos that are full of lies. I finally had enough and asked my group leader if I had to watch the video, and he treated me like a child, telling me I either had to watch the video or put my head down on the desk. Later that day, Snipes was called into a meeting with Mercedes management and immediately fired for having his phone on the factory floor. Taylor had previously been given permission to have his phone on the floor so he could check for messages from his child's daycare center. So it's not consistent there. By the way, Mercedes workers are part of the national movement of non-union auto workers organizing to join the UAW in the wake of the historic stand-up strike victory at the Big Three. Over 10,000 non-union auto workers have signed union cards in recent months. You can find more at UAW.org. What a story, huh? All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the National Labor Office of Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Are you an experienced mechanical insulator looking to take your career to the next level? Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio has steady work for a number of years. Insulators Local 50 offers a total wage and benefits package that can't be beat. It's not just the competitive wages. Local 50 also provides medical, vision, and dental insurance with no paycheck deductions for you and your family. Don't miss out on the chance to secure your future. Join us at Insulators Local 50. Earn great pay and the best benefits. Visit insulators50.com/AWF50 to fill out the online form, and a Local 50 representative will call to begin the process.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, loggers, and miners. Well, in 1965, the Blues developed the National Labor Office to strengthen its commitment to organized labor. And today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care, partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, as well as their families. Working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. You can learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. Well, I am excited to be joined once again by Marilee Logue. Now, Marilee, just a recap here, she is the executive director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. And she comes to us with more than 30 years of experience in healthcare. That's a whole lot. Marilee, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me back, Flash. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover today, so let's start right there. For anyone that may have missed our last episode that you were on, can you just give them a quick intro as to who you are and the work that you do? I mean, it's important. We get new listeners all the time, So if you can go back and recap that for us real quick, go ahead.
Absolutely. So I lead the National Labor Office, which we shorten to the NLO. And the NLO acts as a liaison between the unions and Blue Cross Blue Shield companies. We want to make sure that all the plans we're offering and the benefits we provide are aligned with the labor community needs. I go into the specifics of what that work looks like in the last episode, which was in January, and I give everybody, I recommend giving that January episode a listen.
Great plug. And everything is archived on awfpodcast.com, awfpodcast.com. Well, this is a good segue into what we're talking about today, Marilee. When we spoke last, you mentioned how the National Labor Office is thinking about health equity, which will be our primary focus for today's conversations. Can you pick up on that?
That's right. At Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, we are incredibly committed to addressing health disparities and inequities. As a healthcare partner to 1 in 3 Americans, we believe everyone should have access to high-quality healthcare, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, or age. One aspect of this topic that's near and dear to me is women's equity, from both a health and a workplace perspective. For over 30 years, I've worked in the industry in healthcare and labor, and that has been my predominantly dominated by men, as you know. There have been many times I've walked into a fund office or a trustee meeting and was given an offer coffee order with them not realizing, hey, I'm the manager bringing the team in to deliver the renewal. I've also seen benefit changes that have been introduced as equal, but in reality, they're not even equitable for men. They're benefits that would benefit more for men. So you see that it's been a long road for women in this business.
I'm sure you have plenty of stories, but that would be another show. That would be another show.
Yes,
now, Marilee, issues around gender inequality, you know, let's be honest here, they're not new issues. But in recent years, it seems the work being done to address these inequities has really been amplified. I mean, really amplified. Would you agree with this, and have you noticed any changes?
Yes, I would definitely agree with this. Over the last couple of years, the female voice at the workplace is being heard, and I think it is especially true from a labor point of view. There have been several factors that have contributed to this, but the one thing I believe has helped fan the conversation is the federal government providing grant money to create and expand programs to support women entering jobs traditionally not held by women. The program helps to expand pathways for women to enter and lead in all different industries, particularly infrastructure, manufacturing, clean energy, and technology industries. And Flash, as a working mother of 2 adult daughters, I'm glad to see the tide changing in the workplace, but I know we have a long road to go.
Well, Marilee, that's a great example that you bring up, because it's one thing for national leaders to talk about equity, but you can't move the needle without a true investment of time, money, and resources. Can you pick up on that? Because I think it's really important.
Exactly. It's been inspiring to see how people and organizations are not only open to the conversation, but willing to make the investment to make the workplace and benefits offered more conducive to women. Within Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, we have a women's resource group, for example. This group provides a forum for women and allies to work together to support and learn from each other and contribute to the advancement of women across the organization. Even within the National Labor Office, we've experienced firsthand this shift happening. We are governed by a board of directors since 1965. Just like the American workforce, we have seen our board change with the times. I'm proud to announce that we have our first female vice chair of the executive committee, Tara Clisby, who will ultimately be our first female chair. She will move into that seat in 2026. Currently, Tara is the vice president of labor and trust team of Blue Shield of California, where she oversees new business opportunities. She also is incredible in actively mentoring women in the labor movement.
That's awesome. Congratulations, vice chair of the executive committee. Well, congratulations to Tara. as well as to the board, that's a huge milestone that will definitely have an impact, especially on this topic of women's equity in the workplace. Now, when you think about women's equity from an American workforce point of view, Marilee, what does that actually look like?
From a labor perspective, we are hearing conversations around supporting women in the trades. The needs may be different than other women. For instance, heavy lifting when a woman is pregnant is not a good thing. And so the goal is to create comprehensive benefits and changes within the workplace, including health topics like maternal health and other things that benefit women. In the National Labor Office, we are leaning in on this conversation and proud of the work that we're doing.
And you certainly should be proud of what you're doing. You know, Marilee, I got to take a quick break. Marilee Logue is the executive director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. And again, she comes to us with more than 30 years of experience in healthcare. That's a lot. And she brings a lot to the table. More to come. We're going to zero in on health equity right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives. Now more than ever, it's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Marilee Logue. Marilee, again, is the executive director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, one of the many proud sponsors here on America's Workforce. You know, without our sponsors, we wouldn't be able to do this show. And we want to continue doing this show because it is making history. top 1% of all podcasts in all of America and the world, I might add. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of podcasts. I mean a lot, like 2 million. So we appreciate you as a listener here on America's Workforce. Merrill Lee, let's talk about, let's get back into health equity. You know, it's such a large and meaningful topic. Can you tell us what work is being done at Blue Cross and Blue Shield to help address it?
Yes, I can, Flash. So health equity is a top priority for the Blues. There are several initiatives underway. We have a multi-year strategy in place that looks to address four conditions that disproportionately affect communities of color, and some of these are also disproportionately impacting women. The conditions we are currently focused on at BCBS are maternal health, behavioral health, diabetes, and cardiovascular conditions. Cardiovascular disease has actually risen to the top of one of the most at risk for women. 45% of women have this disease, and it becomes ultra critical when women are pregnant. I am particularly proud of the impact we've had on maternal health equity. In this day and age, with all the technology we have, we can't believe that Black women are three times more likely to die from childbirth complications than white women. We set a bold goal to help reduce racial disparities in maternal health by 50% in 5 years. We're doing this through taking steps like building maternal health programs, facilitating access to doulas, and expanding benefit coverage to ensure postpartum care. In the NLO, we are furthering the education and awareness by coming on your show, attending conferences, communicating through newsletters, and anything else we can to communicate and reach the American worker and their families.
Well, Merrill Lee, you mentioned two big stats that I want to hone in on. First, you noted that Black women are three times more likely to die from childbirth complications than white women. And secondly, that Blue Cross Blue Shield companies have set a goal to help target racial disparities in maternal health by 50% in 5 years. Now, obviously, there's a crisis here. What are some of the actions that Blue Cross Blue Shield companies are taking to achieve this bold goal? You kind of touched on it, but I'd like to get into the weeds here, if you don't mind, because I'll tell you, we've got a huge issue here. This is all yours. Go ahead.
It is a big issue. And one thing we see as a big opportunity is increasing support of doulas. And you know what, Flash? A lot of people don't even know who a doula is. And a doula is that person, that guide that specializes in providing not just the woman that's pregnant, but the family with emotional, informational, physical support during the pregnancy, birth, delivery, and postpartum. And this, we provide not only, many of our companies provide not only coverage for the doulas, but actually funding the training for programs so that there are more doulas in the communities. And the focus there is very compelling evidence that suggests working with a doula can help reduce serious complications like C-sections, which, as we know, can result in mortality for many of these women. And it's the work around the postpartum that is very important, especially when we talk about mental health. Another focus of many of the Blue Cross Blue Shield companies is around food insecurities. Research shows that there is limited or uncertain access to nutritional food and can be very harmful during and after pregnancy for both the mother and the baby. So many local Blue Cross Blue Shield plans are implementing programs to provide nutritious foods, nutritional coaching for women in need. There's a lot of great work being done as it needs to be, and for the sake of time, I can't get into every initiative that's underway, but we invite everyone to engage in this discussion and this work and learn more at our website, bluehealthequity.com.
All right, let me repeat that. It's actually bcbs.com/health equity, okay? bcbs.com/health equity. Well, Merrill Lee, thank you
for shedding light on Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans and the National Labor Office's efforts to champion women's health equity in the workforce and beyond. From making strides with women in labor to impressive commitment, maternal health, Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are dedicated to providing comprehensive support, which really reflects a pivotal step toward creating more equity in healthcare and in the workforce. So it's all good. You got a huge mountain to climb, but you're climbing it. That's the important thing. I'd like you to pick it up from there. Go ahead.
You know, thanks, Flash. And one thing I would like to add, that we can't do this alone. The support and partnership from community leaders, organizations such as yours, individuals, there needs to be a rallying cry out across our country to continue advancing health equity. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to move the needle.
Yeah, you got it. Well, it's a great note to end on. Mary Lee, if you would let people know where they can go to get more and see how they can help.
Sure. It's bcbs.com/health equity. You can learn more about our health equity strategy. As for me and my team, we sponsor labor events, conferences, conventions throughout the year, and you can find our full calendar at bcbs.com/national-labor-office. You can also follow us at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Very good. Mary Lee Logue, Executive Director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. You know, I always say there's a takeaway from every interview that I do, and the takeaway today is doulas.
Terrific.
I learned a new word, and now I know what that word is all about. So thank you so much for joining us today. We'll do this again down the road, okay?
Thank you for the support.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Andrew Snell, who's an organizer with Code CWA. We'll explain what's going on right after this.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Hey, this is Sean McGarvey, and I'm president of North America's Building Trades Unions, and I'm a proud listener of America's Workforce. I love this podcast.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Before we join our next guest, I got to give a salute and a shout out here to Doreen Cannon at Plumbers Local 55. You probably heard me talking about their apprenticeship career fair, which was a couple of days in northeastern Ohio. Turns out they had almost 400 people show up. So I'll tell you, Doreen did one heck of a job in getting the word out. In fact, we're going to have her on the show next week to talk about what she did to get so many people at the Union Hall. That was at the Pipefitters Union Hall, Local 120. And they had just about every trade there. So congratulations to Doreen Cannon of Plumbers Local 55. In Cleveland, Ohio. All right, let's go to the state of Minnesota right now. And joining us on line number two is Andrew Snell. Now, Andrew is an organizing committee member with Code CWA. Now, this is an organization, CWA, obviously the Communication Workers of America. These are the gamers. And I'll tell you, this is a big industry today. And we're going to talk about Activision, workers at Activision Central Quality Assurance. They join the CWA, and for very good reason, because Microsoft said, if you want a union, you can have a union, and they chose the CWA. Andrew Snell, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today. Before we get into the union drive, tell me a little bit about yourself. I understand you're a tester, and maybe you can explain. You know what? I'm old school, all right? I go back to Pac-Man and Sega. And I really don't know much about gaming today. I watch my kids and grandkids. I have no idea what they're doing. But anyway, maybe you could fill me in, because I know technology has exploded and gaming is huge and the work is difficult. And that's why you need a union. So go ahead. It's all yours, brother.
Sure. Well, so my particular position is that I'm considered a functional tester. So just like you have to check car parts before you put them into the machine, we check the games for any issues or, doing server loads or anything like that before it gets out into the live retail environment. So I end up spending most of my days sort of, we get like a list of things that we have to check on. And, head into the program, take a look around, see if the things that are supposed to be happening are happening, and the things that aren't supposed to be happening, we get written down somewhere. Sometimes it's that doesn't look right, or this sound should be here, or that's not tracking properly, kind of that sort of thing. So that's sort of my job in a nutshell, is just making sure that we launch a quality product.
Now, how many workers are actually testers? Because I'm reading you organize, I see like 600 members at Activision. Are they all pretty much testers then, or what?
And the testing varies from different aspects. Like there's some teams that work like specifically in the live retail environment, and looking at they see what people are talking about online, and like, hey, this issue came up while I was playing with my buddies. And they'll go and investigate it. And sometimes, depending on where you are in the project specifically, you're also checking some stuff that showed up in the live environment. So, I want to say it's around 600. I know my particular unit in Minnesota is the biggest one of the three. At just, I want to say it's a little over 300, close to 320 testers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now talk to me about Activision. They were an independent company, and then Microsoft bought them. Am I correct? And I think that's what happened, didn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So Activision, the history of it's kind of like Activision came about around the time of the big uh, the big gaming crash back in the 80s. And then, yeah, more recently, they had been acquired by Microsoft. Pretty long history with them.
Now, did you try to organize with Activision, or did it start with Microsoft?
We did try to organize with Activision. That was back in, I had started with organizing back in, I want to say around like May or June of 2022, mm-hmm. I guess. And, kind of even from that point moving forward, it was we were making some good efforts, but the neutrality agreement with Microsoft really, we looked at that and we went, oh, well, that's going to make things a lot easier.
So Activision had no such thing. they didn't believe in neutrality, did they?
No, not at all. I was really hoping, you know, there's always the hope of like, well, maybe they'll hear us out, and then you know, you hear, and you know, there's been plenty of news about, you know, Activision hiring law firms that deal with you know, not exactly negotiating with unions favorably, and so we look at that and we go, oh, well, okay, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought. And then we see the neutrality agreement and go, oh, this is great. Like, this would be like, if, you know, if this deal goes through, then yeah, this will make trying to get our efforts through a lot easier.
So let's fast forward to Microsoft. So Microsoft acquires Activision, and then you find out that it's going to be neutral. Did you ask them to be neutral? Did they just offer it? They said, okay, we don't want to bother. We're not going to hire these high-powered law firms. Talk to me about that conversation. What happened during that time?
Yes, the neutrality agreement happened between the announcement of Microsoft's intention to purchase Activision Blizzard and then the actual acquisition. So by the time the deal to buy was complete, they had already agreed to that with the NLRB. With the NLRB. So it made it a lot easier for us to really talk about the issues that were going on in the office and really kind of, you know, stand in solidarity with one another. It's sort of ever since we had been acquired, it was really easy to. It just opened the doors for us. It made it make people feel more comfortable. We were still building up and still, you know, improving. We had to kind of restart with our efforts just because, you know, it's not Activision Blizzard individually now. It's now Activision Blizzard under Microsoft. But we already had the groundwork for it, and we were already talking about it. But now people were much more open in talking about it, and that made it a lot easier for us to be able to, you know, get our points across, get people to hear us out more. Like, you know, yeah, let's, you know, now that it feels a little bit better, yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about this. Like,
these
are some things that I've been seeing, so.
Yeah, you're not afraid to speak out. All right, Andrew, you mentioned a couple of issues. I want to get into what you're trying to accomplish here in this first contract. And, you know, first contracts are always difficult, especially in companies where they fought the union. This case, a little bit different because Microsoft was neutral. So can you tell our listeners what you're actually fighting for? What would you like to see get done? And I imagine, too, I mean, this is grueling work at times. You're testing it. It can become monotonous at times. And obviously the environment, you want a good environment to work in. So spell it out for me. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, we are currently trying to determine what exactly our bargaining pitch is going to be. So while I can't go into the specifics just to, you know, keep things a little under our hats for now, a lot of the big things that we're looking for is, you know, pay rate increases, you know, even starting with just like a cost of living adjustment, as the cost of, well, everything is going up. Our ability to be flexible in where we can work when we're doing our work. And, you know, also just, you know, just like other things in general, you know, looking at our benefits and seeing if there's ways that we can get more out of that, or having the flexibility to be able to move between projects, or even being able to expand our roles so that we're doing more than just, you know, like, hey, you're a QA tester. Okay, great. But that's a pretty big field. Is there any way that I can specialize? Being able to also look at being able to not just expand our roles, but also to make those roles very secure for ourselves and not have to worry about just this, what seems like a revolving door of layoffs in the industry, not just in gaming, but in tech as a whole. It kind of seems like almost every month to probably every week now, it's always some kind of news about another tech firm having a set of layoffs. And, you know, job security is a very important thing for us.
Sure, sure. Do you have a timetable on this? And these talks that you just referenced, they're going on as we speak, pretty much?
We are not yet. We're in the process of getting our bargaining arrangements set up. And at the same time, we're figuring out what exactly our bargaining points will be.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this. I mean, this is groundbreaking. It really is. And those of you listening right now, if you go to the CWA page, cwa-union.org, you can read this story. It's posted out of Santa Monica, California. Quality assurance workers at Activision established largest certified union in the U.S. video game industry with the Communication Workers of America. That being said, you know, this is going to open the door. And hopefully, I'm praying that there's more Microsofts out there. Microsoft's a giant company, very profitable. But I'm hoping, and I said this at the beginning of the show, Andrew, can you believe how many union members we would have today if more companies acted like Microsoft and said, hey, if you want a union, go ahead and do it. So, Andrew, my next question here, with that being said, I'm just wondering, has this opened the door? Are others saying, hey, what did you do over there at Activision? We want to do it here. I could see this thing snowballing. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that's something that happens. I think a lot of people get the impression that, like, the games industry, like, there's been this, like, very common trend where it's like, oh, the gaming industry is a very highly passionate, very go-getter kind of industry. But also because it's like, it's video games, like you're really going to make a career out of that. It's like, well, yeah, there's people that absolutely do. They make this their job, they make this their livelihood. And, you know, just because it's not perhaps the most conventional industry that people would want to be a part of, that doesn't mean that, you know, you wanted to work in the games industry, I guess this is how it's going to be over there. You just have to deal with it. No, you don't have to deal with it. You can do what we did too, and organize, and hopefully that kind of opens up some eyes at a number of different studios across the board and go, yeah, it is something that's entirely possible.
I love it. Andrew Snell, Organizing Committee for Code CWA, the campaign to organize digital employees, which is a network of worker organizers and their staff working every single day to build the voice and power necessary to ensure the future of the tech, game, and digital industries in the United States as well as Canada. And right now, 600 strong. And we're talking the new unit located in California, Texas, and Minnesota. And that's where Andrew is based. And right now, over 1,000 video game workers at Microsoft have union representation with the CWA. Andrew, keep up the great work. Keep in touch with us on that first contract. Okay, buddy?
Will do.
All right. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, the latest from the North Coast Labor Federation and more. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.